Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, an awesome verse we have looked to many times, but I want to launch from there tonight, and I would the Lord would help me. I do have something I want to say, and I don't feel like I've got it like I want it, but we're going to do our best. I said, looking unto Jesus. Everybody say, looking unto Jesus. Fixing your eyes on Jesus. Amen. You got to quit looking around. You got to quit looking at people. You got to look at Jesus. Amen. Get your eyes off of people and off of things and get your eyes looking unto Jesus. Here it is. The author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Now, that's where I want to focus. The author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. The author and the finisher. Everybody say the author and the finisher. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. What is an author? An author is someone who has an original work. Someone that that is the origin of a work. Somebody that is the inspiration of a work. Somebody that guides a work. Somebody that pioneers a work. Some of the translations translate the word author here as the pioneer, and that's what the word means. Somebody that goes before. Somebody that blazes a path. Somebody that makes a way where there has never been a way. Somebody that goes out and prepares a way for others and makes a way and makes a path. And that's exactly what Jesus did, didn't he? Amen. That's why he said, I am the way. Amen. He came and there was no way, but he made a way. I could not get to heaven until he came and made a way to heaven. And I still cannot get to heaven except in Jesus Christ, because he is the way. He's the author of our faith. Amen. Where does faith come from? It comes from God. He's its origin. He's its inspiration. Amen. And without him, there is no faith. Amen. Praise God. And then he said he is the finisher of our faith. The author is the origin. The author is the beginning. Amen. But he's also the ending. Hallelujah. He's the one that finished. I like finishers. Praise God. I want you to know something about God. He's not a quitter. Amen. He's a finisher. Hallelujah. I like finishers. I like folks when they start something, they finish something. Hallelujah. They don't quit in the middle. They don't walk off when they get tired. They don't give up when it gets weary and they get tired and it's the way's difficult, but they don't quit because they're finishers. They got their mind made up. Hallelujah. The Bible said he is the perfecter, or he is the finisher of our faith. He's one already who has finished. That's what it says right there in that verse. It says that who for the joy that was set before him. The joy that was set before him. You know what? That's how you keep going, Brother Bacon. When you're having a hard time, you can't just look at the hard time. You got to keep looking at what you're headed toward. There's an end of this journey. There's a destination that I'm trying to get to. Amen. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Amen. You got to remember, you got some joy ahead of you. Amen. You're down in a struggle and you're in an intercession and you're praying and you're broken up and it's hard and going, but you gotta keep it in your mind. Hey, I'm gonna get an answer to this prayer. Amen. I'm not just praying to beat the air. I'm not praying to impress somebody. There's gonna be an answer to this prayer. There's gonna be a finishing of this prayer. There's gonna be a perfecting of this prayer. Amen. Jesus is in the finishing business. Amen. He's the author and he's the finisher of our faith. An army going forth has a vanguard. The vanguard is the ones that go in front. And they are the ones out front. Now, in the Bible time, when Israel marched, that was Judah. Judah was the largest of all the tribes. They had more people in Judah than any other tribe. Amen. The word, of course, if you've heard this message or a similar message before, you know that the word Judah means praise. Hallelujah. So they always led with praise. Every morning when Israel woke up, it was praise that started the journey. Hallelujah. It was praise that led the way. I want to tell you something today. Praise still works. You want to have a good day? Get up and praise. Brother Grissom, I don't feel like praising in the morning. Well, you just need to learn to praise anyway. And if you'll start praising, it won't be very long till you'll feel like praising, because God inhabits the prayers of His people. Amen. So prayer and praise always leads the way. Praise is the vanguard. Hallelujah. Amen. But I want you to know something. God's not just in the praise. If there's a vanguard, the Bible calls it the rearward. Amen. There's somebody that's got to protect the behind of this thing. There's always going to be somebody that's last. But if you're last in the kingdom of God, you're still in the kingdom of God. Hello? I said if you're last in the kingdom of God, you're still in the kingdom of God. Amen. I want you to know, my head gets a lot of attention, but my little old toe and the skin on the bottom of my foot is just a part of my body, is just as much a part of my body as my head is. Isn't that right? If you don't believe that, you just get a little sticker in your foot and you see if it don't, it's not a part of you. Huh? You step on a stone and get a stone bruise, and you'll find out if that heel's not a part of your body. It'll hurt just as much as your head'll hurt. Amen. Because it doesn't matter what part of the body is. You're part of the body. So you may be in the vanguard. You may be in Judah. You may be in the praise. Or you may be the rear ward. You may be in the back. Amen. You may be bringing up the very back. But I'm telling you something. You got to be strong to be there. Amen. Praise God. Don't tell anybody this. Please don't tell anybody this. But sometimes when I go to big meetings, don't tell anybody. Please don't tell the church. But sometimes I sit in the back. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you something. Not everybody can sit in the back. First of all, there's not enough room. You got to come early to get a good back seat. In most churches, most meetings, you got to come early to get a good back seat. Amen. But that's not why I sit in the back. I'm strong enough to sit in the back. If you're one of those people that you have a hard time focusing in the back, you don't need to be in the back. I know some people that they have ADDDDDD. And everything distracts them. You don't need to sit in the back, because you're not strong enough to be in the back. Amen. We need the people in the back need to praise just like the people in the front. Amen. Praise God. So you see, I'm not preaching to the people in the back. Amen. If you're strong enough to sit there, somebody's got to be in the back. You know, when a lion goes out hunting, you know what he's looking for? He's probably not going to get that one in the front. You know where he's going to attack? He's going to attack in the back. A lot of times an army, they're not going to attack the front. They're not going to attack the front, the vanguard. They're going to come to the rear ward. Amen. Now it's only normal. You see, and here's the problem. When the army's marching and the church is an army. I said the church is an army. We had a song some years ago, Brother Bacon. It said it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. Amen. We're not here playing church. We're involved in the battle. Amen. The devil doesn't want me to make it. The world doesn't want me to make it. My enemy don't want me to make it. So I'm in a battle from the time I get up till the time I close my eyes. I'm in a battle. Amen. Praise God. Sunday night's a battle. Monday morning is a battle. You're in a battle all week long. Amen. Not because we want to be. I don't want any enemies. Somebody years ago gave me a little old book I guess I was sick, and somebody sent me a book to encourage me. Some people know I got a sense of humor. And on the cover, it had a picture of a man laying in a hospital bed. I mean, you could tell he was sick. And the preacher was praying for him. And man, he was a apostolic from the top of his head to the bottom of his shoes. He said, "Come on, brother, renounce the devil." And the brother in a weak voice said, "Brother, I ain't in no condition to antagonize anybody." You ever felt like that? I ain't in no condition to antagonize anybody. Amen. And you're renouncing, you just go ahead and renounce. Amen. Praise God. He was in the rear ward. Amen. He was having a hard time. He was going through a difficulty. Amen. Praise God. Sometimes it's like that. Amen. But there's got to be, if there's a vanguard, there's got to be a rear ward. Let me show you something here. The Bible said when God led Israel out of Egypt, the angel of the Lord and the cloud of the Lord went before them. And all they had to do was look up and follow that cloud, that vanguard. The angel of the Lord was out there. The cloud was out there. And then they came to the Red Sea. And there was the obstacle ahead of them. No way to get over. And they looked behind them. And here came Pharaoh's army with all the chariots and the horses and the soldiers. And they didn't know what to do. And the Bible says the cloud that went before them turned and went behind them. And the angel of the Lord that was before them turned and went behind them. I'm telling you today, God's got your front and God's got your back. If you can't find him before you, it's time to look behind you, because he's going to be somewhere, wherever he needs to be, to take care of you and take care of your business. That's where God is going to be. Amen. Hallelujah. He is your reward as well as your vanguard. He's not just the author of your faith. He's the finisher of your faith. He's not just the front of your faith. He's the back of your faith. Amen. He's going to take care of you here tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. The book of Isaiah in chapter 52 and 12, it said, "For you shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. For the Lord will go before you." Everybody say, "Before you." "And the God of Israel shall be your reward." He said, "I'm not only going to go before you, but I'm going to come after you." Amen. You're hemmed in tonight by the protection and the power and the grace of God. Amen. Isaiah 58 and 8, he said, "Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine help shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward." Amen. Praise God. Hey, sometimes the glory of God's at the back of the building. Let me ask you something. If God is truly omnipresent, isn't he just as present everywhere? He's God upon the platform. He's God back at the door. He's God in the amen corner. He's God all over this floor. Isn't that right? And we sing that? Hey, we believe that? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Ward, is there God back there? Can you feel him? Hallelujah. Brother Carey, is God back there? Can you feel him? Amen. You see, he's God. He's all over the place. I can see folks on the back seat grinning just as well as folks on the front seat. Hallelujah. What I'm saying tonight is he's not just God in the vanguard. He's God in the rearward. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, here's just the fact of the matter. Israel was on the march. And not everybody can walk in the front. So those that were lame or maimed, and those that were weary, and those that were wounded, and those that were weak, had to go to the rear ward. But you know what? The second largest tribe of Israel was Dan. And Dan was the rear guard. Amen. Judah, the largest, was the vanguard. And Dan was the rear guard. Amen. And I wanted you to know something. It's okay to be in the tribe of Dan. Amen. You know what I've noticed about some Danites? Amen. They may not jump as high, and they may not shout as loud, but when it comes Wednesday night, they'll be here. And when it's Sunday morning, they'll be here. And when it's Sunday night, they'll be here. And when it's revival service, they'll be here. And when there's an offering, they're going to give in it. And when there's some kind of an activity, they're going to be a part of it. Amen. Pray that's what the Danites say. They may be at the bottom, at the back of the tribe, but they're still part of it. Amen. Hallelujah. And there's no shame in being part of the tribe of Dan. A lot of people say, I want to be Judah. Well, have at it, brother. Amen. But somebody's got to stay back here and take care of the back of this thing. Huh? Amen. Praise God. I don't know if you've ever watched this. Have you ever watched a flock of geese fly? You know how they're flying in that V formation? And you watch them, and they're flying along. They got this V. You know why? Because they just know God put in them this instinct that is a way that cuts through the air. And the one in front makes it easier for the one behind him, and the one behind him, and the one behind him. But what you notice is that after a while, the one in the front, he'll kind of fly back, and he'll drop back to the back. And then somebody else will move up and take his place. You know why that is? Because he is flat worn out. He's been out there making a path for everybody else. He's been in the vanguard. He's a forerunner for the flock. And he gets weary, and nobody criticizes him if he peels off and he goes back to the back. And he says, I'm gonna hang back here for a little while. Hey, amen. You get up there and you make the way for everybody else. Hey, you make it a little bit easier for the rest of us. And when you get weary, you can go off to the other side and somebody will take your place. That's the way the church is supposed to operate. Amen. Praise God. Not everybody can be the vanguard all the time. There ought to be a place for somebody to rest for a little while. I didn't say quit. I didn't say retire. I didn't say give up. I said rest. Amen. There ought to be a place where you can say, hey, brother, I just need to rest a little while, but I'm back here. I'm not giving up. I'm not dropping out. Amen. Come Wednesday night, I'm going to be there. I may not be leading. I may not be shouting as loud as I usually shout, but I'm going to show up. Hallelujah. I'm just going to rest a little while. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So somebody's got to take care of that part of the journey. Amen. When Israel was marching in the wilderness, Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 17, the Lord said, remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when they were come out of Egypt, how that he met thee in the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary. And he feared not God Let me tell you something. You attack the faint and the weary, you won't get on God's fighting side. Amen. The Bible said, ye which are spiritual, do what? Restore such an one. Amen. In the fear of God, considering also yourselves, lest you also be tempted. There's not any place the church is not supposed to destroy the weak and the weary. But there are churches where they can't survive. Amen. Praise God. That's right. You got to be careful. Your love for God is no deeper than how you take care of the wounded. If you can't love somebody and help somebody and restore somebody with a wounded spirit, then you have no love of God. You have the spirit of Amalek. If you want to attack the hindmost, if you want to destroy the wounded and the weak and the weary, that's the spirit of Amalek. Amen. That's not the spirit of Dan. That's not the spirit of Jesus. Amen. That's not the spirit of God. Amen. We got to take care of everybody here. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. If the Marines and the Navy SEALs cannot leave anybody behind, the church shouldn't leave anybody behind. I said the church shouldn't leave anybody behind. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so they were marching in the wilderness, and the Bible says they attack them. Look at verse 19. Therefore, it shall be when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. Listen closely. Thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And hear this, thou shalt not forget it. Thou shalt not forget it. He said, don't you ever forget what Amalek did to you. And when you get settled in, I'm going to let you get settled. And that's exactly what Saul's great sin was. God chose King Saul to eliminate Amalek. He told him, he said, I want you to go to Amalek. I want you to kill everything there. Man, woman, boy, girl, animal. Leave nothing. Why? Because they attacked the hindmost. They attacked the weary. They attacked the wounded. Amen. And they destroyed a portion of my people and had no mercy. And so God said, I will have no mercy upon them. Brother Grissom, I didn't know God could be like that. Well, he can. You don't want to get on God's bad side. Well, God don't have a bad side. Let me say his angry side. His righteous indignation side. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can read it in your Bible. If you don't believe me, just look at Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 19. And then you go into the book of 1 Samuel, and you'll find out where God told Saul, he said, wipe them out. Of course, Saul disobeyed. And because he disobeyed that, the Bible says God removed him from being king of Israel. Amen. Praise God. It wasn't easy, was it? But God's going to protect the back as well. Amen. And so you're weary tonight? Don't worry, God's got you. Amen. I'd like to say the church has you too, if you'll let us. Amen. If you'll let us, praise God, we'll have you too. Amen. We're going to take care of you. Amen. We're not going to let you down. Praise God. You know, we talked about this before, but, you know, some people get the porcupine syndrome. You ever tried to hug a porcupine when he's upset? You don't hug a porcupine when he's upset because he's got his old quills up and he's saying, nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. Amen. I think I'll eat some worms. Nobody loves me. And don't you dare try. Amen. He's got the syndrome. You got to wait till he puts his quills down. Amen. Then you can hug him. Amen. But sometimes I've seen folks get that porcupine syndrome. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody get a little prickly every now and then? Hey, Sister Hart called it ouchie. Amen. But it's not ouchie, just prickly, plain old prickly. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? Not that you've ever been that way, but you know somebody that has. Amen. David came to Ziklag. He left his family and his possessions there while he'd gone to fight the armies. Came back to Ziklag. As they came over the horizon, they noticed there was smoke rising from Ziklag. I'm sure that they hurried as fast as they could to see what had happened when they got there. The city lay in ruins and it was all burned. His family was gone. The family of his armies was gone. The possessions were gone. Everything was gone. And when they saw that, the men, weary from battle, were so disheartened that they almost turned on David themselves. Amen. But thank God David was the vanguard. Amen. Now, it's okay to be the rearward, but you have appreciation for the vanguard too. The Bible says King David, he wasn't king quite yet, and so he the Bible said he put on a linen ephod, that's a garment of praise. He said it's time to be Judah for a while. Amen. And he put on his garment of praise. The Bible said, and David went out and he encouraged himself. Everybody say he encouraged himself. There are times you got to encourage yourself. There are times a preacher can't do it for you. There's times your brothers and sisters can't do it for you. You said, oh, if the telephone would just ring, but it doesn't ring. If somebody would just drop by, but nobody drops by. Hey, man, you feel like you're all alone. You know what that is? That's time for you to get your ephod. That's time for you to put on the spirit of praise. And that's time for you to start encouraging yourself in the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You know how you do that? You just start praising him. You don't pray, but you praise. You start saying, God, I know I'm not feeling very good right now, but you've been really good to me. All of these years, you've never let me down, and I know you're not going to let me down now. I might be in a low place, but you're going to lift me up to a high place because you're the high God and the God of the highest, and you just begin to praise him and worship him and let the Holy Ghost move, and you'll encourage yourself. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. You got to encourage yourself in the Lord sometimes. Praise God. That's a vanguard spirit. And so David encouraged himself. And then he said, all right. He said, God, what are we supposed to do? God said, should I go after them? And God said, yeah. He said, pursue. He said, if you'll go after them and pursue, he said, you're going to get everything back that they took. So David went back to his men and he said, all right, guys. He said, I know you're tired and I know you're weary, but we got to pursue. God said, if we'll go, we're going to get everything back. They come to a brook called Besor. And when they got there, I guess some were so sore that they couldn't get across. The Bible says 200 men. Said, David, I'm sorry. We just can't go any further. And David did not ridicule them. David did not make fun of them. David did not put them down. He said, okay. He said, we got some stuff we need to leave here anyway. You guard this stuff. And then those that have the strength, we're going to go on. Amen. So he left 200 men at the brook Besor, and then he took 400 men they pursued. Amen. And in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 30, verse 18, it tells the story. It says, and David recovered all, everybody say all, that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. Verse 19, there was nothing lacking to them, neither small or great, neither sons or daughters, neither spoil, nor anything they had taken to them. David recovered all.
And David took of the flocks and the herds which they drave before other cattle and said, this is David's spoil. David came to the 200 men. So David, not only did he get back his stuff, he got all the stuff they'd taken. These men had gone on a raid. And they had taken cattle and livestock and everything from all kinds of places, from Judah and from other places. And they were coming back with all of the riches of their spoil. And when David got through with them, the Bible said the only ones got away were young men that were 400 men riding camels. Now, the reason they got away is because a camel's a fast animal when he's in a hurry. Amen. They were the Porsches and the Ferraris of the day. Amen. They put the pedal to the metal and they scooted on out of there. Everybody didn't have one, got left behind. It was every man for himself. Amen. And David took all the spoils. All, everybody say, all the spoils. Man, that awesome. Now, it's amazing what people do. Some people, when they get a little money. I've heard people say, well, you know, when I win the lottery, I'm going to pay my tithes. I'm not going to hold my breath. Because if you can't pay your tithes before you hit the lottery, I promise you ain't going to pay your tithes when you do win the lottery. If you can't pay $100 now, you're not going to pay $100,000 later. Huh? Yes, sir. Amen. I've had that experience. I've had some folks, when they were going through a hard time, they were in the church, we helped them, we prayed for them, we counseled them, we did everything we could for them. Soon as they got over a couple of $1 million settlement, adios. Amen. Praise God. Don't need the church now. Amen. Praise God. That's not everybody. It's not everybody. Thank God that's not everybody. Amen. But that's somebody. Now I want to show you what happened here. In verse 21, and David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And David came near to the people, and he saluted them. So you get the picture here? When David saw him come, they saw David coming, they got all excited. Amen. They were so happy. They felt like they were still part of the family. They felt like they were still part of the army. They had a different job. They were the rear ward. But they felt like that what they were doing was important. And so they went out to meet David. They were happy. They were joyful. And the Bible says when David saw them, he saluted them. He was happy too. But not everybody was happy. Verse 22, then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial. You mean there's some of them around? Well, let me show you how you recognize them. This is how you'll know. Of those that went with David and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them all of the spoil that we have recovered. We'll give every man his wife, his children, and then you just take your kids and your wife and you just get on away from us. If you get that spirit, you're wicked. If you get that spirit, you're not of God, you're Belial. That's what it said. I didn't say that. God said that. Amen. That wasn't what David said either. Verse 22, then said David, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with what the Lord has given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us to our own land. For who will hearken unto him in this matter? But as his part is, it goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that teareth by the stuff. They shall part alike. David said, we're all in the same army here. If you're a vanguard or the rear ward, You're in the army. And you're going to get as much. Everybody's going to get the same share. That's a true leader. A true leader. True leadership does not have specials and special people. And amen. Praise God. Everybody's the same. I said everybody's the same. Is that right? Everybody's the same. Not everybody has the same talents. Not everybody has the same skills. But everybody's the same. Amen. Pastor Grissom's no different than anybody else here. We're all the same. I'm no different than you are. I have a different role. I have a different position. I have a different calling. I have a different office. But that doesn't make me any more than anybody else here. You have just as much Holy Ghost as I have. You just have just as much access to the throne of God as I have. God will answer your prayers just as well as He'll answer my prayers. Do you hear what I'm saying? I said, you hear what I'm saying? Pray, don't you let some preacher make you think he's greater than you are. He's got a high office and you respect that office. And you respect the man in the office. But God will hear your prayers just like He'll hear His prayers. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. We talked about this the other night, that the gifts are resident in the Spirit. If you got the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost is in you, then those same gifts are in you. Amen. Praise God. And God can do just as much with your Holy Ghost as He can do with my Holy Ghost. Praise God. You can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, just like any preacher can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Right? Amen. Praise God. You know what that does? That makes all of us responsible. You can't put it all on the ministry, and the ministry can't put it all on you. Because we're all part of the same body. Amen. I said it a minute ago. I'm going to say it again. Every part of your body is important. Amen. They call that the little finger. But I'm telling you what, it can be a big pain. You hit that little finger with a hammer, and I promise you, you'll forget about your thumb. And you'll forget about your head. And you'll forget about your heart. All you'll think about, woo, it's that little finger. Amen. There's no little part of you. Every part of you is important. Every part of you is important. Hey man, you got stuff inside of you, you don't even know it's there. But if something goes wrong with it, it will get your attention. Nobody thinks about their intestines a whole lot. But you let your intestines get all rolled up. You get something get blocked. I promise you it'll get your attention. You talk about belly aching and hollering and carrying on. I have heard grown men scream when they just got just a little old stone. It's a little old bitty stone in their urinary tract, and they would howl and scream and cry and carry on. Grown men, strong men, amen. And they didn't even know they had such a thing until something went wrong with it. Right? I'm telling you, every part of the body is important. I want you to feel that. I want you to know that tonight. Praise God. I don't want you to get the idea that you know, so-and-so's on the platform. He's more important. No, he's not. He just has a different job. He has a different skill set. Amen. But you're important, just as important. Amen. Praise God. To give you an example tonight, you don't want me playing the piano. I can play the piano, but you won't like the way I play the piano. I can move my hand all over that keyboard. I can hit every key on there. You better believe I can. But you won't like what comes out of it. So you see, some people have different jobs, don't they? For a reason. Some people sing and it's a treat. Others sing it's a treatment. Amen. So you got to understand tonight, there's different job, different positions. Amen. You don't want me playing the guitar. Amen. I'm not that guy. You know, Brother Wesley goes all over there. I mean, go up and down and around. Amen. I get one place, I just start hitting, man. I can make as much noise as he can. It just won't be as harmonious. Amen. Praise God. So you see, every part of the body is important. We all have different skills, and we do different things well. Amen. You probably don't want me baking coconut pies. Sister Flad does an awesome job of that, but you probably don't want me making one. There's things you just don't want me to do. Praise God. I can steer a mean pot of peanut brittle. Yes, I can. Yes, I can stir it up. I can mix it. I'm Pentecostal. I can make peanut brittle. I'm Pentecostal. Praise God. Everybody knows Pentecostals make the best peanut brittle in the world. Amen. Praise God. What are you saying, Brother Grissom? I have no idea. I'm so lost right now. No, I do know what I'm saying. Some people are in the vanguard, and some people in the rear ward. But everybody's important. Everybody's important. It doesn't matter if you're in Judah or if you're in Dan. Amen. You're just as important. Everybody's a part of this body. Praise God. I'm going to try to close here. Amen. But you remember Jesus was on the way, actually, to deal with a very emergent situation. There was a father that had come to him, and he said, "My son is at the point of death. Would you please come pray for him?" And so Jesus and the entourage were on their way to the house of Jairus to pray for his little boy. And the Bible said that while he was on that journey, there was this little lady. And I want you to notice the wording here. There was this little lady that had an issue of blood. And she'd had it for 12 years. The Bible said that she spent all of her money on doctors, and she wasn't any better than she was when she started. I'm not knocking the doctor here. I'm just stating the fact. They just didn't have the answer. Sometimes they don't. Amen. And so the Bible says, notice the wording. It says, and she came behind. Everybody say behind. In other words, she came from the rear ward. She didn't come from the front. She came from the back. She wasn't out there. She was coming from the crowd. And she came from behind. And the Bible says she made up in her little mind. She said, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment." Now, if you remember, in Bible times, men were required to have a blue seam at the bottom of their robe. And it was symbolic of God's mercy. Actually, they were called wings. That's what they called that band of blue around the hem of the garment. It was called the wings. And you might remember there's a verse in the Bible that said that the Son of Righteousness has risen with healing in his wings. That's what that's talking about, the hem of his garment. I don't know if she had that verse on her mind or what it was, but she just made up in her mind. She said, "If I can just touch that, I don't want his attention. I don't need him to lay hands on me. I don't need him to prophesy over me. I don't need him to do anything like that. All I need to do is just touch the hem of his garment. If I can just do that, I believe I'll be healed." And so she came behind him through the press, pressing through everybody that was trying to get close. I'm sure it was hard. It was difficult. She was weak in her body. She was weary. She was part of the rear ward. And somehow she got to that place close enough that she could just reach out and touch the hem of his garment. And when she did that, she felt it. Instantly, something went over her body and strength began to surge through her being. And from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, there was strength and there was health and there was wholeness. Amen. And Jesus stopped. And he said, "Whoa, somebody touched me." And his disciples said, "Well, of course they did, Lord. Look around you, man. There's people everywhere." He said, "Oh, no. Somebody touched me." He said, "Because I felt virtue, power go out of me." You know how you can tell when you touch the Lord? There's going to be some virtue. Amen. Praise God. Now you can play church and patty cake all day long, but that's not touching the Lord. You can repeat Pentecostal phraseology all day long, but that's not touching the Lord. Amen. When you touch him, I promise you'll know it. Hallelujah. Because something is going to happen to you. Amen. Praise God. And I'm telling you here today, you see, well, Brother Grissom, I never have been one that liked to be in the front. I've never wanted to be on the platform. I just like to work behind the scenes. Dan, we're so thankful you're part of this body. We need the tribe of Dan just as much as we need Judah. It's okay. Welcome to the body of Christ. You have a ministry. And you can touch him just as much as anybody can touch him. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Jesus was at the house of a Pharisee by the name of Simon. And he was eating supper at his house. And the Bible said, now, let me illustrate. In Bible times, you got to remember, they were not Occidental like we are. They were Oriental. And so they ate at tables like this. And this is how they ate. Amen. When you get through, all you got to do is lay your head down and take a nap. It's easy. But they ate like this. So, of course, their feet were out behind them. You understand what I'm saying? And so she wasn't crawling around under the table when she was washing his feet. But his feet were extended. And this woman came off of the street. And when she saw Jesus, there was something that attracted her. I pray, God, that we can get that spirit in the church. I pray to God that we can get the spirit that attracts sinners instead of repels sinners. You know what I'm talking about. You invite people to church and they're scared to death to come to church. Oh, I pray against that spirit today. God, give us that winsome spirit. Give us that spirit that when people see us, they'll not be driven away, but they'll be drawn near. Amen. If they'll recognize the love of God, amen, and the spirit of restoration that's in the church. Amen. So there was something that got a hold of her. And she came, again, the Bible says she came behind him. She came behind him. She's coming from the rear ward. And she came behind him. And she, the Bible said, she was so broken. The Bible says she washed his feet with her tears. Now, I've seen people can cry, but I never saw somebody cry that much. But let me tell you another part of the story. In the Orient, tears are considered sacred. And so people would literally, you can read it in the Psalms, they would literally bottle their tears. They would catch their tears in a bottle because those tears
represented the sorrows and the brokenness of your life. All of your hardships and all of your difficulties and all of your disappointments were all bottled up. And so I got a feeling that she didn't just cry, but I think she brought her bottle with tears. And she poured out the sorrows of a lifetime and poured it on Jesus. Amen. And she wept. And then she took her long tresses of hair and she began to dry his feet. And then she took an alabaster box, a very, very expensive ointment, and then something that normally would even be preserved to the end of life and to preserve the body in death. And she took that alabaster box and she broke that and she poured all of that out on one extravagant show of her love and her adoration. And Jesus, can you imagine what was going on when all that was happening? You know what was, the Bible records it. You know what was going on in Simon's head? Simon was saying, if he knew what kind of woman that was, if he just knew her reputation, if he knew what she'd been up to, and that's what was going on in Simon's head. You know what was going on in Jesus' head? He started telling Simon a little story. Jesus knew what kind of woman it was. But he looked beyond her fault and saw her need. And he ministered to the need because he cared. And he told Simon and he asked him a question. He said, Simon, he said, if somebody forgives a whole lot, and he told him a parable about a man that owed a lot and a man owed a little, and he said, who's gonna love the most, the one that's forgiven much or one forgiven little? And Simon said, well, obviously the one that's forgiven much. Answered his own question, didn't he? For as Simon was concerned, he didn't need any forgiving. Right? He was righteous in his own affairs and in his own self, and so. But this woman came from behind, and Jesus received that worship and that adoration. Then he turned and he said, "Your sins be forgiven you." Amen. And he relieved her of all of the burden of guilt and shame of sin, and set her free. Praise God. She came from the rear ward. Amen. Everybody's got to come to God from somewhere. Amen. I said, everybody comes to God from somewhere. You remember that story? Now, I told you I'm going to quit, and I am. By midnight, I promise, I'll be through. But you remember the story? The Bible talks about this crowd of people that Jesus fed in the wilderness. And come time for supper, the disciples said, "Lord, you got to send them away, man. It's supper time." Praise God, amen. And said, "You know, my stomach's beginning to think that my throat's been cut. I'm hungry. Send them away. Send them away. Send them away." And Jesus said, "I got a better idea." He said, "You feed them." Ah, what a novel idea! I'll just rush out to Walmart, grab my little old buggy. Amen. We'll buy out the store. Enough to feed 5,000 men, their wives and their kids, huh? No, don't think so. Walmart don't even have enough groceries to feed that many people. No. Brooks, you include Brooksers and all the rest and Save a Lot and all the rest, still wouldn't have enough. That's a lot of folks. That's a lot of people. Amen. Probably at least 20,000 to feed them. Here's the reason. The Bible, he said, because some come from far. Some folks can make it home. They didn't come very far, but there are some of these people that came a long ways to get here, and we can't send them away. So we're going to feed everybody. I'm saying this to you tonight. Some people come. He told one man, he said, "You're not far from the kingdom of God. You're not far." Some people, like myself, grew up in this their whole life. I never was very far.
Amen. My mom and dad saw to it. They drug me to church every service. Amen. Till I got it. Amen. I thank God for that. I thank God for that. Praise the Lord. And I hope your mom and daddy does that to you. Amen. So I wasn't far. But some people come from far. Not everybody has the same journey to get to God. Amen. There are people that live for God here that have a different way than your way. So don't be criticizing people. Amen. And I hate that statement when people say, they didn't get the same Holy Ghost I got. Well, if they got it at all, they did. They just may be under some different circumstances. They may have come from a lot further than what you come. If you grew up in a good moral environment, thank God you grew up in a good moral environment. There are people that come from so far from God. They had to fight to get here, and they got to fight to stay here. Amen. I'm talking about the rearward. Some folks come from far. Praise God. I grew up kind of in the tribe of Dan. You wouldn't know that. But I did. I grew up in the country by myself. And, you know, my brothers and my sister had already married, and some of my brothers already married and gone, and two brothers left at home, and they were gone all the time. And you talk about backward and shy. Amen. And when God started talking to me about preaching, I thought, well, Lord, you know, nobody ever heard of a preacher named Grissom. Surely you're not calling me. I don't like talking in front of people. And I'm scared. The first time I remember singing one time in a service, and I literally was holding my hand, myself up with my arms because my legs wouldn't hold me up. I was that scared. Amen. And I'm just saying, you know, but you come from far, but we got here somehow. Got here somehow. Some of you knew my mother, and my mom was not a person who wanted to be in the forefront. Amen. You talk about somebody that could bake a pie and bake a cake and cook a meal. Woo! It's dangerous. Amen. What do you mean? I mean, if you got a drop of it on your forehead, you lick your brains out trying to get it all. Is that good? Amen. That's dangerous kind of pie, dangerous kind of cooking. Amen. But she was from the tribe of Dan. I saw one of my former pastors recently, and he told me all over again. He said, Brother Grissom, he said, you don't know about your parents. He said, but if the church ever had a need, your dad, he wasn't in the forefront. He never sang a song. Never sang a special. He never got on the platform. Never preached a sermon. Never taught a Sunday school lesson. He said, but if there's ever need in the church, your dad would just come up to me and he would just hand me money. He didn't want anybody to know what he was doing. He didn't want his name mentioned. He didn't want anybody to know about it. All he was from the tribe of Dan. He was just saying, hey, I'm from the rear ward, but I want to help here. I'm not in the front. I'm not in the Judah. I'm not in the vanguard, but I want to be a blessing too. Amen. Praise God. You see, we got the tribe of Dan's just as important as the tribe of Judah. And the rear ward's just as important as the vanguard. They're not as visible, but they're important. Don't you forget it. So don't you forget it. You guys that want to be preachers, don't you ignore Dan. Hello? Amen. We get some every now and then. You'll get an evangelist come by, and boy, he'll wanna scrape the back seat and run folks down because they're not down here shouting, screaming, climbing the walls, swinging off of chandeliers, running the back of the pews. Amen. Well, you know, some of us are just Dan. I'm gonna quit. I am, man. I'm having a hard time shutting it down here, but I'm gonna quit in just a minute. My favorite is, I love what Brother Pugh said. A lot of stuff Brother Pugh said, but I like this. He talked about worship and how that some people, they get up and, you know, they got to make it happen, right? I've heard people say about worship, they said, fake it till you make it. No. God don't want anything fake. God don't want anything fake. You don't fake it. Now, I'm not saying that you don't just worship when you feel like it. You got to worship whether you feel like it or not. But be earnest in your worship. You may not feel like jumping over the pew right now, but you go ahead and worship anyway and get your hands up. Amen. God, I don't really feel anything, but I want you to know I love you. Amen. It's not about my feeling. It's about you, and it's about how I feel about you, and it's about what you've done for me. I want to praise you. I want to worship you. Amen. Praise God. So you got to do that, whether you feel like it or not. Amen. But sometimes, you know, it's hard. You get up here, it's scary up here sometimes. You look out there and you go, oh my goodness, everybody had a bad week. People are sitting there and you're looking for a friendly face. God help us here, somebody. Please smile. Amen. Be the service leader's friend. Come in with a smile on your face, whether you feel like it or not. Amen. Turn that frown upside down. Amen. Get a smile on your face. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But anyway, so sometimes, you know, we're pumping service, you know, we're trying to get things started, and we get the cheerleading, and everybody stand up, and everybody stands up, and everybody turn around and shake your neighbor's hand and tell him he's better looking than you, and he's better than you, and get your hands up and worship the Lord. Everybody say amen. Everybody say hallelujah. Amen. Everybody say, everybody do this, everybody do that. Amen. You're so busy listening for instructions, you can't worship. And then I've heard them say this. They'll say, well, yeah, man, you know how long people worship God? About 20 seconds. You know why? Because you programmed us to do that. We're trying to worship God with one hand up in the air, listen to what we're supposed to do next. I'm standing. Do you want me to turn around, sit down, what? What do you want me to say next? I'm listening. Don't criticize the congregation if you trained them that way. So, brother, you thought I forgot about Brother Pugh, didn't you? But I didn't. Amen. So, Brother Pugh said, whenever I'm in a service like that, he says, I wish they'd just shut up and let me worship God. Amen. Folks don't really need, they just need to be inspired a little bit. They just need to be given an opportunity. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. You want to do something? Grab you a tambourine and start marching. Do something. Amen. Inspire people. Don't beat them up. Don't put them down. Inspire them. And just give them an opportunity. Folks like to worship God, don't they? Amen. I'm talking about the first and the last, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Praise God. I don't know how you feel about this, but I think we're at the very end of this journey. Now, there's a verse in the Bible that says, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Some of the people you think are going to be at the head of the line are going to be at the back of the line. And some of the people you think are going to be at the back of the line are going to be at the front of the line. Because God doesn't judge people by one or two acts, but he judges you by the content of your character and the actions of a lifetime. Amen. Somewhere right now, I believe, on planet Earth, there's one last saint and one last soul that's waiting to be saved. God's going to fill one last person. I don't know who it is. I don't know where it is. But someplace in some church or some Bible study, someplace, somebody's going to get the Holy Ghost for the last time. Somebody's going to speak in tongues for the last time. Somebody's going to be the last saint that makes it in. Hallelujah. But you know what? The one that's last, it's just going to be just as important as the apostles at Pentecost. They're going to be just as saved as the apostles at Pentecost. Amen. Praise God. You might have got here late, but you're here. Amen. You might have just barely squeaked by, but you're here. And that's what matters most. Let's stand together. Thank you so much for hearing my ramblings here tonight. The author and the finisher. the author and the finisher of our faith. God is the origin of faith. God started faith. God perfected faith. And God's going to finish faith. Jesus said, and when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Amen. Praise God. I want to answer in the affirmative. How about you? I want to say, yes, sir, Lord, right here in Athens, Texas. You're going to find some faith here. Hello? Anybody got your mind made up? Anybody got your mind made up? God, when you come, yeah, you're going to find some faith here. Yeah, man, I'm not giving this up. I'm not turning around. I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm not stopping. Amen. I'm pressing on. I started this journey with finishing on my mind. Amen. I got the goal in view. Amen. I'm going to press on until I get to the goal. Amen. I'm going to find faith. I'm going to finish this faith. Finish this faith. Paul said, my faith fights for me. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody? You may be in a battle here tonight, and you may feel like that you're weary and that you're just barely going, but you're still going. You may make an effort to put one foot in front of the other, but you're still getting one foot in front of the other. You may have to rest by the brook Besor. Amen. And let somebody else go on a little while. Amen. And you may have to stay behind and take care of some other things until they get back. But nonetheless, you're still in the army and you're still in the body and you're still in the fight and you're still in the church and you still matter. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we go so much by image and by sight. The Bible said we walk not by sight, but we walk by what? By faith. Amen. He said the race is not to the swift. Amen. Don't matter how fast you started. It matters how you finish this thing. And maybe people started out faster than you did, but they're not here now. You're still here. You're still here. And that matters, folks. That matters. That matters. Praise God. I want to open up the altar here tonight. Amen. I think it would be good to, amen, if we would make up our mind tonight. God, I'll serve in the vanguard. I'll serve in the rearward. It doesn't matter where I am. Just let me be a part of the body. Just let me be part of the army. Just let me be part of this church. Yeah, I want to be part of the redeemed. I want to sing the song of the redeemed. I want to sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. When we gather around the throne, amen, I want to lift up my voice with the saints of the ages in that celestial choir. I want to sing praises to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's it. Let's worship Him tonight. Let's worship Him tonight. That's why we're here.